Chapter 1. Unemployed. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on, and it makes me wonder. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
Mal wrapped both hands around his mug, taking small comfort in the warmth seeping through the ceramic into his skin. At his elbow, a plate held a protein bar reduced to a pile of crumbles. As midnight snacks went, it was pretty pathetic, but it beat laying in his bunk worrying himself to death. Besides, Jane had gone and run off with the last of the liquor. It had been an awful mixed bag since Miranda. The Alliance hadn't exactly plastered up wanted posters of Mal and crew all over the Verse, but they were making their displeasure felt. Bounty hunters kept popping out every damn place. It was lucky the Bhutan hunters never could get along and tended to come at their targets in ones or twos instead of a whole damn army. Biggest group had been a baker's dozen 2 months ago. Ambushed the crew outside a pissant town in Jinyang. Mal had just turned River loose on the Ungjungje Chao Desu and watched her pound him into groaning bruises. Hadn't even had to waste a bullet. Memory of that still brought a smile to his face. Jane sulked about it for weeks. Still didn't set well with him that a 90-pound girl could kick ass 10 times better than he could. Mal found it a bit creepifying himself, but it wasn't about to stop him using her talents to the best advantage. Simon hadn't spoken to him for days after. A bonus, to Mal's thinking. The bounty hunters weren't the worst of the problems, though. With most of their contracts slaughtered, and the survivors more than a bit shy, places where they could pack serenity for a restful spell were mighty scarce. Wasn't easy to pick up jobs constantly on the move. And even harder to make drops when most businessmen of the sort to deal with men like Mal were leery about doing business with someone Xi Jinping enough to spit in the Alliance eye in such a spectacular fashion. It wasn't quite general knowledge that Malcolm Reynolds and the crew of Serenity were responsible for blowing Miranda wide open. But word got around. He'd run into plenty of folk who wanted to shake his hand or buy him a drink, but not so many who wanted to hire him for a job. Coin was getting mighty tight. If Badger wouldn't give him a job on Persephone, they were humped. And now this thing with River. Just the thought of her pale young face, her wide eyes staring at something no one else could see. Mal rubbed his forearms, trying to get the hairs to lie back down. Weren't the first time she'd seen things. And he'd learned to listen. Oh, yes. But her seeing things never was good. He tried to get her to tell him more, but all she'd say was variations on, "A storm is coming." Bugged him like hell, and hadn't the foggiest what to do about it. He hadn't breathed a word to the others about the scary interlude on the bridge. No sense worrying them when he had nothing but those vague words and a creepy feeling to go on. River hadn't said anything else either, but then she rarely told her reader stuff to anyone but him and Inara these days. Usually he'd talk it out with Zoe, but she had enough on her mind just now, and he wasn't sure he wanted to spring any more stress on her. She'd probably hit him. Like she had when he told her he was taking her off active duty till further notice. Of course, she probably would have hit him anyway when she found out he hadn't talked it out with her. He didn't know what to do. Well, that wasn't true. They'd do business as usual, and he hoped to... Well, he hoped, anyway. That maybe this oncoming storm would miss them. Or that it wouldn't be so bad. Or that River just got her wires crossed and seen someone else's dire load of Mafun looming. Yeah, right. And he had some nice farming property for sale on Shadow, too.
You're up late.
The mug in his hands jerked, sopped lukewarm tea over his fingers. He just managed to swallow a startled exclamation, emitting a strangled gurgle instead. He unclenched his hands from the mug and tried to surreptitiously shake the moisture off.
Evening.
Inara glided from the doorway to settle down in the chair across from him.
What's wrong?
Nothing, he lied. Just not tired.
He toyed with the idea of making a remark about his lack of company, but decided it would only get him in trouble. He never could manage witty innuendos where Inara was concerned. He could only manage rude. And he didn't feel like being rude to her tonight. She lifted her eyebrows, and he knew she hadn't bought the lie. She seemed to be getting better at reading him lately. Annoying as hell.
Money worries?
He grasped at the excuse. It was true enough.
Yeah, thinking about raising your rent.
I'm not paying rent right now.
Hence the raising of it. She shrugged.
If you feel it's necessary.
Damn it. He'd been hoping she'd get upset about it. A good argument might take his mind off River's words. He sighed. I'll let you know.
That isn't what's worrying you, is it?
His jaw ached suddenly. He unclenched his teeth and got up to dump his tea in the sink. Don't feel much like talking about it. She didn't say anything, just sat there, her hands folded gracefully on the tabletop, watching him with knowing dark eyes. He tried not to hunch his shoulders under that steady gaze, and kept his back determinedly to her. He spent much longer than necessary rinsing out the mug.
But
why not talk to her about it? River usually told her anyway. And Inara was a lot smarter than he was. Maybe she'd understand what the hell the words meant. He set the mug aside and turned around, propped his back against the counter. All right. Earlier tonight, River said something. Something that worries me more than a mite. A small line appeared between Inara's flawless brows.
Something as in a psychic something?
Mal nodded. She said, and I quote, "A storm is coming."
That's vague.
He pulled at his suspenders. Could say that. Bit disturbing, too, considering the sort of storms we've seen. Was it his imagination, or did she look faintly pleased at the use of the word "we"? Couldn't figure out why she'd be surprised. She'd been through nearly everything they had in the time she'd spent on Serenity. She was crew by now, although he admitted he hadn't exactly come out and told her that.
Did she say anything else?
Not so much.
Inara offered him a small smile. Then why worry so much about it? It might be nothing. Even if it isn't, without more information, we can't really do anything.
Nal ambled back to his chair and slumped into it. I know, it's just... He rubbed a finger at some spilled tea, tracing out designs on the worn wood. I'm sick of storms. I'm tired of running all the time. Surely a bit of peace ain't too much to ask, just enough to let us all heal a bit. Let Zoe do what she needs doing and get things settled some. He pinched the bridge of his nose with his other hand, feeling the old exhaustion looming like a monster. I'm so tired, he said, his voice barely a whisper, feeling a thick lump in his throat. He'd never voiced that outside of the privacy of his own head. Never let it show anywhere but in his own quarters, alone with nothing but his ghosts. He couldn't believe he was saying it now, with her sitting across from him. He heard a rustle of silk as she moved, felt smooth, slim fingers cover his hands on the table. He looked up to meet her gaze, saw compassion there. His own eyes pricked, but he pushed it back. He wasn't about to start bawling like a little girl, not in front of her. Not when he saw his own grief and weariness mirrored in her eyes, and knew that it would take the tiniest little thing to shatter them both. Like him, she put up the front and kept going because everybody else needed it that way. Needed them to be strong, and keep the rest from crumbling under the weight of their grief.
"We'll manage," said Inara.
He managed a crooked smile and turned his hand to grip hers. Hard, accepting the comfort of human contact. "Don't exactly have a choice," he said wryly. Let the storm come. It'll pass. It always does.
How long are we going to be docked, Cap'n?
Kaylee's voice was muffled a bit, seeing as she had her head stuck under the mule, tinkering with something Mal was fairly certain he wanted to know nothing about. Long as it takes to find work. He shifted his weight, which gets hard to do when you're cramped under the mule. She slid out far enough to beam up at him through the mask of grease.
Don't want the mule dropping you mid-flight, do you? This model don't slither so well.
He sighed and rubbed the back of his head. Fine. How long's it going to take?
Another hour or so.
Might as well walk to Badger's. Once you're done, you take it and pick up the big stuff, Dalma. I don't want to hold it all back here by hand. Or try to make Jane do it.
Yes, Cap'n.
And don't take Simon with you. Takes you twice as long to do anything hauling him around.
He said he was going with you. Atcha. I ya tin na. Can't I take River? She's out with Zoe, picking up stuff.
Stuff. He knew what stuff. Zoe and stuff. When had he ever imagined those words in the same sentence? About never.
Jane? He said something about seeing a friend. Might have a lead on a job.
She reached out, fumbled around for one of the scattered tools. Mal took a guess and nudged it toward her hand. Jane's friend, who might have a job. There was a horrifying thought. Still, so long as it wasn't too repulsive, Mal figured he wouldn't sniff at it. Coin was coin. He sighed.
"Ain't no way am I going to ask Nara to go see Badger with me," he muttered.
"Simon, it was, then, since Kaylee had to stay with the ship. You going to be okay on your own?"
"Gh. Zoe ain't going to be gone long.
She'll probably be back with her before I'm done with the mule."
"Yeah, and pissed as hell, too. Zoe wasn't taken too kindly to the fact that she got tired so fast these days. Suddenly, even dragging Simon all over Evesdown docks had more appeal than hanging around for a second to return and take her frustrations out on her superior officer. Wasn't good for his captainly image. He really, really missed Wash. By rights, he ought to have been the one taking the brunt of all this. Mal pushed aside the sharp stab of sorrow. Weren't many things in the verse he wouldn't do to bring Zoe's husband back, but not a one would work. "Fine, Shiny. When she gets back, tell her she's got command. I should be back before sunset. I'm gone too long, y'all come and rescue me."
"Dunra, be careful, Gavin."
He shifted down the ramp. "Be careful." Seems everyone said that a lot more than they used to. Simon was waiting for him half a dozen yards from the ship, looking wary behind his solar lenses. Their relationship was a lot friendlier these days, but neither one of them cared to spend long amounts of time in the other's exclusive company. River once remarked it was because they were so much alike. Mal figured the horrified expression on Simon's face at this thought had mirrored his own, but he had a sneaking suspicion that there was more than a bit of truth to the girl's words. Usually was. Didn't mean he liked it, and surely wasn't going to admit any such resemblance. But now that he wasn't fretting all the time about keeping the boy and his sister out of Alliance hands, he was starting to notice a certain similarity. It was all manner of disturbing.
"Don't just stand there gawping," he said, brushing past the young doctor. "Long walk to Badger's."
Simon fell into step behind him. "Kaylee isn't done with the mule yet?"
"No, some dark-haired fella keeps distracting her when she's supposed to be working."
Mal shot a sidelong look at Simon out of the corner of his eye, and was pleased to note that the other man had the good grace to blush. Simon cleared his throat.
"So, do you think Badger will want to speak with us?"
Mal squinted at the glare, wondered briefly if he could get away with stealing Simon's glasses, and shrugged.
"Surely hope so. Won't fly far without coin for fuel."
"Does it seem to you that jobs are hard to get lately?"
"Noticed that, did you? I blame the Alliance." "You always blame the Alliance, Captain."
"Well, it's their fault, ain't it? Watch that there."
He tugged at Simon's elbow, pulling him out of the path of an oblivious laborer pulling an overladen cart. They turned off the main thoroughfares of Evesdown and onto the narrow, twisty streets surrounding the hangars.
"Badger hasn't exactly gone out of his way to be helpful in the past. Why should he now?"
"Could be he waved me, said he had some work."
"He did? Why didn't you say anything?"
Ma crooked an eyebrow. "Since when do I have to tell you about private conversations? You're the medic, Simon, not the Goram shrink." Simon raised his hands. Sorry, didn't mean to threaten your captainly status." Mal chose not to dignify that with a reply. "We get to Badger's, you keep your trap shut, don't Ma? I don't want this job going south 'cause you get Badger all bent out of shape."
"No, I'll let you do that."